You're listening to Journey with Jesus, a year of adventure in the Gospel of Mark. Our prayer is that as you listen to this message and engage with the scriptures, you will encounter the life-changing power of Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Right, so morning, everyone. Are you awake then? Good, that's good. Obviously, you guys that maybe don't know me or you forgot about me, my name's Neil, and I'm a Christian. I come to this church, and I love the Lord dearly, and it's just an absolute privilege just to be able to share from God's word and just speak openly, honestly with you. And just hopefully, I just pray that God will do something great in your heart as I share his word. I don't want you to hear my words, I want you to hear his. And I think it's probably good then if we pray. I've done a lot of praying, but you can never do enough. So just bow our heads and just pray and just push in with God. Father, I just pray, I guess, that this meeting would just be a huge revelation to blind eyes and to stony hearts, Father. I really want today to be a revelation to people, Lord, not just bashing out information, Father, that we can take away with and put on a few more spiritual pounds, but information that we can actually do something with and impact the world in which we live. Mm. I pray, Lord, that you just stir our hearts and be encouraged, Father, and you want to do that in us, Lord, because you love us so much, Father, and you love your people, and it's all because of your amazing grace.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so today we're going to continue reading in the passage in the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to be following a guy by the name of Bartimaeus and his encounter with Jesus. If you're not familiar, it's one man's story that made the decision that if Jesus was going to be passing by in his lifetime, that there was no way he was going to miss this opportunity. And we're going to read together. But I think before we read, I do this a lot when I read the word. I just want to use our imaginations. God gives us them for a reason. And we need to get into Bartimaeus' shoes. I really want to try and think and feel and hope and get into the life of this desperate man today, seeking his only hope. And as we know, it's only found in Jesus. But I think it's really important we do that today, just to identify with our needs and Bartimaeus' at the same time. So I'm going to read from Mark 10, 46 to 52. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. I mean, you could even at this point, you could just close your eyes. If you don't have your Bible with you, you could close your eyes and think about this. This is you now. I want you to think and I want you to feel the way in this situation, this dust of dirt, sitting on the roadside as Bartimaeus would be begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus. "Your faith has healed you." Immediately, it's that word again, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. I really feel that this passage really should capture and sum up the attitude that all Christians should aspire to, that when Jesus is coming, that we don't want to miss a thing he's doing in us, through us, or with us. We have all, each of us, chosen this way of life. We have said yes to Jesus. We called out to him. He heard the cry of my heart, and he heard the cry of your heart. He came to us. He has healed us from our hurts, our past, our shame, and our sin. He's clothed us in righteousness. And we now have the privilege of living and following him and telling others. And if you don't get anything else, that should blow your mind, that is you today. And we're continuing in Mark, just at the very beginning, in 46. Then they came to Jericho, as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. My question myself when I read this was, so what is the significance of us reading this, understanding them, going through Jericho on the way to Jerusalem? And unfortunately, there was a million different threads, and I have to try and just pull what I needed just for this. But if you want to read it yourself, and you want to go through that, and you want to dig, you want to set up your own little archaeological dig around the text, you'll find so much wonderful stuff. But I just want to just choose one thing. And this is what I came across. Jericho had been rebuilt, but has still been subject to a curse. And in the book of Joshua in 6:26, it tells us, at the time that Joshua pronounced this solemn oath, this is after the falling of the walls, "Cursed before the Lord is the one who undertakes to rebuild the city of Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn son, he will lay its foundations. At the cost of his youngest, he will set up his gates." So Bartimaeus is not only afflicted with blindness, he's not only poor, he's not only destitute, ridiculously dependent on other people, he was living in a once cursed place. His name and the mention of his father's name, Timaeus, tells us even more detail. The bar in Timaeus means son, and Timaeus means unclean, and it means something else, which I found out later on doing my little dig, honour. So Timaeus means unclean and honour. So I thought, first of all, how unusual is that, that a name would have two meanings that could be ridiculously so radically different? And I'll come on to that a little bit later on, what I think that interpretation is. But for now, I just believe Mark wants us to take on board there is no way that Jesus won't go even through Jericho. And transformation can happen anywhere. There is no way that it's off limits. And I know that because he came past my life. He came past your life. But let's not forget also, on this particular day, the roads of the city were jammed with pilgrims. All of Israel was on their way to Jerusalem for Passover. And the road through Jericho was one of the main routes to the temple, as the scriptures tell us. So beggars would obviously have seen this as a great opportunity. They've got a mass of people going through Jericho, and they see this as an opportunity. And this is why we see Bartimaeus there. Mind you, he was there all the time, begging all the time, sure, but this particular time was a real opportunity for him. And Bartimaeus was there. You know, he was just trying to meet his basic needs. I mean, imagine what you would have been like in those days. You were blind, you couldn't do nothing, you wasn't skilled, you couldn't do nothing. You had to completely rely on this way of life. And this is what he's trying to look. But little did he know that day that Jesus would be there to meet all his needs. Jesus always gives us much more than we bargain for. And if you know him, you know that. The first Passover marked the Hebrews' release from the Egyptian slavery. And Jesus was about to use this Passover meal to point to himself. But we're not going there. I love the fact when we read the Gospels, we pick up details. Jesus didn't zone in on people with great reputations or influence. You don't need a reputation to catch the attention of Jesus. Did you know that today? You just need faith to go after him. That's all you need. Romans 10:13 says, "For anyone who calls on the name of the Lord, he will be saved." The gospel is for everyone and everywhere. Which leads me on to 47. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Everyone around him was speaking about this Jesus of Nazareth. But he begins to shout, "Jesus, son of David," calling him by his messianic name. And what I pulled from that was, it doesn't matter who others say he is. It matters who you say he is. He needs to move from concept to heart, concept to king. Sometimes you need to hear about Jesus before you hear from Jesus. I say it again because it's something I picked up on there. Sometimes you need to hear about Jesus before you hear from Jesus. Someone must have told Bartimaeus about Jesus, and he had chosen to believe and put his faith in that, even before he had the opportunity to come face to face And I want to just encourage you all to never be discouraged when witnessing, because you never know when it will bear fruit. Someone must have told these truths with Bartimaeus.
Yeah, that's good.
And they might never have even seen this fruit bear any fruit. They might not even seen that this act had taken place. But that person was important in the plan and scheme of things.
That's good.
And the other thing I want you to notice in this is you also notice that Bartimaeus heard the commotion and the excitement. And I really believe that one of the benefits of a noisy church is people know Jesus is about. That's why we've got to be a noisy church. What would have happened on that day if Jesus had just walked through the crowd? If, like, I'm not saying in some church services up and down this country, there will be people just clocking in and clocking out, just doing that. They would just be walking in and then walking out. Think about that. It's just, that is the difference. It's something simple, but Bartimaeus would never acknowledge this moment if people weren't making that racket. But when there is excitement, and when there is faith, and when there's expectancy, and when there is noise, and when there is praise, and when there is adoration, and when there is hope, people will want our Jesus. We have to shout about our King and live like we are saved. We need to get really excited about it. I mean, for me, I find it ridiculously hard not to be excited about it. I don't know about you guys, but that's just me. And one of the biggest holes, I think, for me and my family coming to Hill City was the fact that I was around a lot of people who were really excited about it too. And I wanted to be mixed in with believers that would believe God for anything, that believe God for everything, that that get excited like I do. It was so important to us as a family when we moved into a church. Not only the fact, obviously, the youngsters here, and we had a nice place for Samuel to grow and to learn about Jesus. And the other thing I like in this text, going back to the text, though, is that I love that he shouted. I love the fact that he shouted. And what I want to ask you guys is, when was the last time you were so desperate, and this is for me as well, you passionately shouted for Jesus? And when I was thinking about this for myself and bringing this word, I was thinking about a meeting perhaps, well, it would have been 7 years ago, and we were praying for the salvation of others and all of that kind of thing, and everything was right and everything was sincere and everything was that. And in that meeting, one person let off a cry that I can only describe took the doors off heaven and touched the heart of God. You just knew, you literally knew God was going to act on this prayer. He was going to do something. And I want to tell you what this prayer was. Please save her. And I was in that meeting and I was like, God, you were going to act on that. I knew it. And he did. I imagine Bartimaeus like this, with tears in his blind eyes, you know, just crushed for sorrow. But hope was rising, because Jesus was here, and he knew he had to make a move. The problem is, however, when we get loud about God, you may have noticed that people don't always like it too much. So in 48 it says, many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And in my formative years, I remember being sat in church meetings and all of that kind of stuff and really getting loud about the things of God, about the needs I really felt needed to be met, important things. I was told when I spoke up, you have to be patient. You have to bide your time for change to happen. Effectively, I was told, shh, you're too loud. And I was thinking to myself, when I was writing this, I was thinking, can you be too loud about the things of God? Is there such a thing about poverty and injustice and the bride, which is his church? Can you be too loud about those things? And can we be too loud about our needs and our desires? Too loud? Really? Shh. My answer to that, my inside was no, you shh. Because God needs to hear my voice. This world needs to hear his voice. And the church is the vehicle that he's chosen to do it from. Don't let anyone shut you up. I've always been told, I've actually been told at one point I was too serious about God by my worldly friends and by Christians. Is there such a thing, to be too serious for God? The determination and persistent faith of Bartimaeus should encourage all of us to not let go of our hope, whatever your hope is in today in him, to not let go of it, of having a breakthrough, no matter how lost or how desperate you are or you feel. We need to stand on the faith that we have and say, boldly, I think, Jesus, you are not going to pass me by without using my life. That's my prayer. That Jesus, you will not pass me by without using my life. Because I know it's my time for my thing, for my God. I know it. Every day when I wake up, and I'm looking for those opportunities every single day. We can't afford to be quiet while our world doesn't know Jesus and our families don't know Jesus. And even more worrying, I think, some people in our own churches up and down this country don't know Jesus. And I'm not here to judge other churches or anything like that. I just examine the fruit up and down this country. And do our churches up and down the country look like God-fearing, God-loving, God-centered hubs for spirit-filled believers to join together, to be encouraged to get out there and be the change we want to see happen? Another pull for me and my family come to this church. I'm not endorsing this church to be the best church ever, by the way. But I was so excited when we came here. We want to do something about the situations and circumstances where we live. We don't want to just put on spiritual pounds. We're happy to take on the poundage and shed it in the communities which we live in. And that was a big pull again for me, or what God was moving on my heart before I came here, that I knew that this was a good fit for me. It's a good fit for God, you know. It's the only fit for God. But the answer with what I said about the churches up and down this country is no, that isn't the situation. Most churches are... Listen, I just think we need to get off that point. We have to move away from being a consumer generation. What's in it for me? And think more about what's in it for God. And the byproduct of serving God is that there'll be something in it for you. And as we get to that point, it'd be amazing, but we can only get to that point by the renewing of our minds that can only happen through the Holy Spirit. So we really need to, I think, pray for that to be used better. I mean, it's great that Jim's doing the message on spiritual gifts. How can we serve God better? How can we serve each other better? We'll only know that by getting stuck into the Word with the elders of this church, understanding and learning and grasping out what God wants us to do with our lives and working out how we fit into the body and why God has brought us to this building, this leisure centre, with each other. It's not a chance that we are all here together. We're all here together because God has got a plan and he's got a purpose, and everything he does is that way. And as we tap into what the guys in here are rolling out, we will be released into what God has for us. And that is exciting. Sorry, I was waffling. But there you go. I also hate talk like I'm too young or I'm too old. And do you know that most scholars believe that the disciples were in the late teens when Jesus called them? And Mary carried Jesus, the Son of God, at a similar age. What a stupid, crazy responsibility that is. Teenagers. And on the opposite end of the spectrum, we've got Abraham, who was 100 years old when God told him to put on some Barry White music. And have a baby with his 90-year-old wife. Abraham was walking into mother care to provide for God's investment at 100 years of age. Age is stupidly irrelevant. Being slightly more advanced in your years is not an excuse to bow the knee and run down the clock, which we see so often. And on the same spectrum, being young is not an excuse to ride out the formative Christian years and get serious about God when you're older. The time is now. I so wish that I got into the things of God when I was younger. It's amazing that I got where I did from when I did, but I'm appreciative of the experiences I had growing up and not being churched and all that, but I so see the benefits of serving the Lord at a younger age and learning and growing and maturing. It's honestly, youngsters, do it. It's the best thing you'll ever do. And the other thing I want to just bring to your attention is, so when I was writing this, I was thinking, games are won and lost in the first and second half. I know this. I'm a Forest supporter. I've been waiting to go. I've been waiting for Forest up for ages. And when you're 4-0 down in the first half, it's almost impossible to pull it back in the second. You know what you're thinking. All things are possible with Christ. That's right. But in Christ. And what I want to say then, obviously, with that is that you have to be really serious about whatever age or stage you're at, because God is wanting to use you. And I know that because the very fact that we're here and have our existence is proof that our lives are something that God needs. God would have taken you if you have nothing more to offer. But the fact that you are here and you're in this place and you're with these believers is the fact that God wants to use you mightily. He wants to do something. And it doesn't matter about your age or your stage. It just matters that God wants to use you because he's got plan and purpose in mind. But no matter what age and stage you're at, you will all agree we all need more of Jesus. And even when I've been sat here and we've been worshipping and thinking like that, because I've been meditating on this word literally day and night in between Samuel being unwell and things like that, I've grown closer to Jesus. I really have. I mean, I feel as close to Jesus today as I did when I first got saved. Why? Because I got serious, I got into the Word of God. I'm not saying I don't always do that, but I was intentional this time, and I've been meditating on it day and night, and it brought me into a deeper connection, a deeper relationship with Christ. So if you are drifting a little bit, I encourage you, get stuck in. If you want to get back to where you were, get stuck in with the things of God. Blind Bartimaeus would not have been saved had he listened to the crowd. If Bartimaeus had listened to public opinion or view of him, nothing would have happened. And I wanted to tell you, it's not enough to know who Jesus is. You have to stand for him and with him. Shouting out Son of David proved that Bartimaeus knew who he was. But if Bartimaeus hadn't acted on the measure of faith he had and allowed himself to blend in with the crowd and observe from a distance, then that story would have ended. He would have not have received his miracle. And that's the thing for us. When troubles come our way, so often we accept defeat. We accept our situation. But I know that Jesus is in the change business. Do you know that? Not loose change, eternal change. If he changed a wretch like me, he changed a wretch like you. And he's still doing that work today. We can't afford, as Christians, I believe, to live below our responsibility and below our privilege. It is a privilege to be a child of God. This account tells us we have to make our move when Jesus is on the move, or we run the risk of missing out on what God has for us. Getting back to Bartimaeus in 49, it says, Jesus stopped and said, call him. Throwaway statement, isn't it? I read that first time round. Jesus stopped. When? When he called him a second time. Have you noticed all through the Bible and in your own life how much God loves persistence from you? Jesus loves persistence. Jesus loves the sinner that messes up and dusts himself off and goes again. That is the Lord we serve. He's not looking for perfection. He's looking for effort. He's looking for dedication. And it goes on and said, let's go back to the agenda. Jesus stopped and said, call him. Jesus uses the same crowd who mocked him. This is the thing for that, it's stupid. Jesus uses the same crowd that mocked him to help him. That's brilliant, isn't it? God using these people who were saying, tell him, shut up, and now saying, call him. And what I found even more brilliant was the crowd turning to his best friends and even supportive now, putting on a show for Jesus. I hugely dislike hypocrites. I don't know about you guys. Give me someone who is honest any day of the week. I don't care if they're Christian or not. How fickle human beings are. That's why we can't solely rely on man. Jesus is the only one who is completely and wholly trustworthy. So they called to the blind man, cheer up. This is the same people telling him, shut up, get back to the dirt. Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Some people, though, even in this room now, feel that no matter how much they call it to Jesus, no matter how much faith they can muster, they do feel like there's still a voice in the crowd. And I know Bartimaeus was feeling like that in this moment. And I know that because he was instructed to cheer up. Read the text. One of the great things I've learned from being in this church is read the text. When Jim's up here, he said, read the text. What does it say? We're like, I don't know, it must be something really deeply spiritually profound. And I'm just like, read the text. And that's something that's really, really good. He was instructed to cheer up. Just as he thought he had missed his opportunity, his moment. And you can imagine Bartimaeus in this moment. He was probably on his knees, facing the floor, completely distraught that his moment had passed him by. Jesus calls for him. When we come to the end of ourselves, it's then, very often, we come to the beginning of God. And this is the story of Bartimaeus. And this possibly was the story of how you came to know him. And you come to the end of yourself, your own efforts, your own works, and you realize there was nothing you could do to save yourself. And you need this Jesus to come into your life and transform it the only way he can. It then goes on to say, he is calling you. And today, he's calling you. He's calling you. He's calling you. He's calling all of us. Right now, God is desperate for our hearts. And he really wants to meet with us each and every day. But the challenge we all face is our choice. You can let Jesus pass you by if you want to. But if that isn't you, you have to get desperate like Bartimaeus. You have to get fired up. I'm tired of seeing our Christian lives wasted because we don't pour ourselves out for the things of God. I want to say, people who think they're too old in this room, they get busy for the glory of God. And people, maybe people feel they're too young, grow up and do something for God. Jesus is here, and he's calling out to the crowd, this crowd. I know this because when two or more are gathered, his promise is he is here. Do you remember the first time Jesus called you? Just think about that moment for a minute. We get so washed up in everything, in church and life. And do you remember the first time Jesus called for you? I'll tell you what it was like for me. Man, my heart was thumping. I think I literally had a spiritual heart attack. I literally just knew this. Jesus wanted my heart. He wanted me. I'm eternally grateful. I can walk away from this deal if I tried. Because there was a transformation in me when I met this living God. Think about your moment. And do you know what I really love about God? It's not a one-time deal. His presence is available all the time, anytime. As we draw near to him, he draws near to us. It's a promise of God. It's good to remember the faithfulness of God in the past, but we have to be really, really careful not to live in it. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that means it's today as well, right now. He is constantly interceding and working on our behalf, and he wants to meet us every day. He really does. The passage goes on to say, throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. I think that teaches us there has to got to be some urgency in our response. We think we've got all day coming to Jesus. Bartimaeus knew that was in the case. Firstly, he throws down his beggar's coat. Secondly, he jumps to his feet. Third, he just comes to Jesus. He doesn't think it up. He doesn't weigh it up. He doesn't think what if, what not. He just does it. Don't hang about when he calls you. And I know, and if you, and you probably do as well, when you have those holy moments, when, I don't know, maybe there's a response that's asked at the end of a message or in the middle of a message, and your heart's going and you're getting pulled, your heart's really being pulled and your mind's being pulled, everything about you is saying, do it, respond. And you don't, and you sit there and you say no. You choose not to go. And that moment subsides and you lose that opportunity and you never know when you'll be back at that point again when you'll have an opportunity to act when God calls you. I feel it's worth noting also, in the act of throwing his beggar's robe down, he was literally leaving his old way of life behind. It's an obvious one in the text, but he was stepping out in faith towards Jesus. Perhaps, just perhaps, there is something that you guys have to throw down today before you can come to Christ. But one thing is for sure, like Jim said last week, is you can't bring it with you. Once you have made your move to God, you've got to go for the ask. This is the thing. You've made your move to God, you go for the ask. The book of James says, you have not because you ask not. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything. So that's anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, this is it, present your requests to God. Jesus says to Bartimaeus, What do you want me to do for you? And sometimes we're always thinking, God, what can I do for you? There's role reversals in there. But in this moment, Jesus asks, what can I do for you? The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. And you might have thought that. I thought, well, that's quite obvious. He's probably stumbled down the road. He probably couldn't find his foot and all that kind of thing. He stumbled along. And he's blind. But you might think this guy is completely destitute. He just needs his basic needs met. So he could have asked for water. He could ask for bread. It's not as simple as a text, actually, when I started thinking about it. He could ask for anything, but he knew who Jesus was, and he was going for the ask. He was going for the full deal. And I want to suggest that the problem is with our generation and for us in here today, is not we're not too young, we're not too old, it's not even because we're in between, it's not even because our age or our stage in life. Our problem is we have trouble seeing. All of us. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. You look for a Christian who's struggling, I'll show you a Christian who has no vision. I'll show you a Christian who can't see clearly. Every time. When we call after Jesus, he says, come. Do you think Bartimaeus would have received his healing if he didn't go? Brings us back to those moments when you have those holy moments when God is calling you out to come out of your comfort zone and you resist. You don't receive because you don't go for the ask. You don't go for God when he's calling you out. And what I do know about this Jesus, he opens our blinded eyes. He's picked us all up from the roadside of our lives in our best beggar's clothes because we thought they were great. And he stirred a ridiculous passion for him because it's the only thing that can happen when you're in a relationship with Christ, that you are a passionate, sold-out believer. Go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. And this is one of the other things I picked up with this. Jesus didn't instruct him to follow him. True salvation always results in disciples, not just converts. Read the text. Go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. Immediately received a sight to follow Jesus on the road. Jesus never instructed him to follow him. True salvation always results in people following Christ, and it results in disciples, not converts. When you have the faith to believe what you cannot see, and you're willing to open up yourself and tell God what you really need, there is no limit to what he can and he will do for you. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and get this, assurance about what we do not see. Assurance. Bartimaeus was like you and me, blind but desperate for something more. Are you desperate for something more from God today? I am. What I had yesterday is not enough for today. What I got now is not enough for tomorrow. I got to keep pursuing it. I got to keep pursuing that relationship. I got to keep pursuing, because if I don't pursue him, if I just make the decision and I don't go, I get left behind anyway. Because when you don't move and God's on the move, you're going to be left behind. And here Jesus, the King of Glory, calls a timeout and says, I'm listening. Are you a teenager in here today and need God to help them see clearly what to do with your life? Are you a married couple that you just really need God to give you a vision back for your marriage? Are you just going through the motions of life and church and relationships? Or perhaps you have suffered a bereavement that has rocked your world and faith, lonely and hurting, or you have never met Jesus before, then you only have one choice, like Bartimaeus, to get to Jesus. I mentioned at the beginning some details in the opening account in 46. And I'll read it again just for the benefit. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples together with a large crowd were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, this guy we've been hearing all about, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting at the roadside begging. And we said that Bar means son, and Timaeus means two things, unclean and honour. And I believe the reason why Mark leaves this detail here is he is stressing something. He is giving an account of the transformation. Blind Bartimaeus comes as the son of the unclean, and on encountering Jesus, has the opportunity to follow as a son of honour. That's why the double, for me, when I read that, it was mentioned twice. You've got son of the unclean, and when you encounter Jesus, just like you and me, we have the opportunity to follow as a son of honour. That is the same same invitation all humanity have, irrespective of your background, what you did, anything. It's the same invitation. You come to Jesus unclean, and he cleans you up, and he sets you on your way as a son of honour. Jesus did not give his life for you to get by. He didn't even just give you his life so you can live life. He gave it to you so that you could live life and the fullness of. Bartimaeus was existing. Some of you might feel like that today. Jesus calls his followers to an adventure that will last for all eternity. Jesus still asking people, what do you want me to do for you? But it's a choice, isn't it? It's always a choice. You, today, can let Jesus pass you by if you want to. You can clock into this church every week, hear a few words of inspiration, sing a few hymns, and leave church every Sunday exactly the same you came in. Or you can say to the Lord, here I am. I want to encounter you in a deeper way. I love that. When you try and think about things of God, there is no words. It just blocks you. And we just need to come to God, I suppose, just like Bartimaeus, and just when he asks, I want my blind eyes to be opened. And I think some of you today, and I did when I was reading this text, really realised that I need to check my in for a spiritual eye test. I really do. My vision's got a bit blurry over time. I don't know where you are, but that's me. And I want to encourage you, all of you, to make your move. Don't allow Jesus to pass you by. And you know what it's like. You've got to do anything you have to. Shout if you have to. Drop to your knees if you have to. Repent if you have to. It is whatever it takes. But don't ignore the stirring in your heart. You have to get to Jesus and allow him to whisper, what do you want me to do for you? We need to lay down our beggar's robes and realize the God of heaven, who has everything we need, is pointing his attention towards you. But as I was thinking about how I was going to land this, and because there's so much stuff in there, I just want to end with this. What was the question that Jesus asked Bartimaeus? What do you want me to do for you? So what I want everyone in you to do is search their heart right now and prayerfully answer Jesus. So right now, just bow your heads, just spend that time with God, think about it, go for the ask. Do you know what? If it's not his will, it's not going to happen anyway. So, but you go for the ask. Think about it. What's that one thing that you want Jesus to do for you? So I'll just give you 30 seconds just you and God. And then I'll pray and close. Father, what an amazing privilege it is to be found in your presence today, Lord. To know you, to love you, to worship you. We don't have to come as beggars, but as your holy people. I pray right now that hearts and minds and all that we are running towards you. And cold hearts have been warmed by the fire of your Spirit, Lord. I really hope and pray that blind eyes have been opened and answered prayer would be released to people who have earnestly prayed to you and told you what they want, Lord. As we said earlier, we have not because we ask not. And Lord, we're making our request known to you, Lord. We love you, we trust you, you're a good God, and you do what is right for us eternally. Father, we thank you for our salvation, that you befriended us as sinners, and you brought us home. I thank you, Lord, that you brought each one of us home, that we can look forward to an eternity with you, Lord. And allow that to be our motivation, Father, as we reach out to a world that don't know you, friends and family that think we're crazy. We know it's foolishness to those who are perishing, Lord. It should be never any surprise to us. But let us hold on to you and the faith that you've put in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for stirring up a passion for your name in me, Lord. Lord, I pray that you continue to do that. And I pray that you continue to do that with every believer in this room whose hearts have got a little bit cold. That your Holy Spirit would just come in and your fire would just set them ablaze for you, Lord. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.